Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Coffee Break Italian, Season 3, Lesson 30. Buongiorno a tutti e buongiorno Francesca.
Ciao Mark, come stai?
Adesso bene, come stai tu?
Anch'io molto meglio, devo dire.
Hai avuto un po' mal di gola.
Un mal di gola? Ho perso letteralmente la voce per quasi 2 settimane.
Incredibile.
Sì.
E questo per causa di un raffreddore?
Sì, non lo so, forse un misto di cose, il freddo, la stanchezza,
il colpo d'aria,
chissà, forse non mi sono coperta abbastanza.
Allora, io ho anche perso la voce un po', ma questo dopo 4 giorni passati a Londra, parlando tutto il giorno con molta gente, molti ascoltatori di Coffee Break Italian.
Ma ne è valsa la pena, da quanto ho capito.
Sì, ne è valsa la pena. È stato un meraviglioso parlare con la gente e fare questa esposizione a Londra.
Sì, ho visto molti commenti positivi, molte persone che ci conoscevano già e altre persone che hanno scoperto Coffee Break proprio in questo evento a Londra, quindi mi fa molto piacere, ne è valsa proprio la pena.
Ne è valsa la pena e la prossima volta verrai anche tu.
Non vedo l'ora.
Now, today we are talking about something a little bit different.
Sì, something not too grammatical, but more like focused on vocabulary, I would say. And we're going to see how altered or modified nouns work in Italian, and also a little bit about modifying adjectives and verbs as well.
So this all sounds quite complex. However, if I tell you that we're going to be looking at all these little endings like etto and ino and uccio and all that kind of thing, then I think everyone will know where we're going with this.
Esatto. Allora, come sempre, Mark, bando alle ciance.
Diamo inizio alle danze. Okay, Francesca, take it away.
Okay, so as we said in the introduction, Mark, in Italian it's quite common to modify words, not to change the meaning completely, but to add certain nuances, like additional information about that word without resorting to a completely different word.
Yeah. In English, we tend to do this by adding other words, be they adverbs or additional adjectives to help describe a thing. But in Italian, we can change the word slightly with different endings.
Esatto, sì. We use what we call suffixes, but they are basically endings formed by 2, 3, 4 letters. And they're easily recognized because they have a specific meaning that they carry with them.
So these endings give information about the quality or the quantity of what it is we're talking about.
Sì, bravissimo, Mark. Usually we can tell if something is smaller than the usual, or bigger, or nicer, or not as nice.
But we also need to remember one other key point about this. It's not an exact science.
No, it's not. We cannot really say, oh, with these nouns, you use this ending. It's something that it's kind of very creative in a way. So as a starter, it's good to recognize these endings and understand what they mean. And then I would just suggest that our listeners play a little bit with them. And if they use not the best ending with a word, it doesn't matter because the meaning will be clear anyway. And it will be just some sort of experiment with the language.
Exactly. Now, just as we came into the studio here to record, as we said in the introduction, I'm just back from London, and Francesca came into the studio, and still sitting beside the recording booth is a large suitcase that we had all the equipment in, and I've still not had time to put it all away. But we both looked at the suitcase, and Francesca, you said,
"Che valigiona."
Che valigiona. And I said exactly the same thing at the same time. We kind of both said it together. So valigiona is una valigia, but valigiona makes it a bigger valigia.
Esatto, sì.
Okay, so let's look at some more examples.
Okay, so I will list some of these endings, and you'll probably be already familiar with some of them. And maybe we can just use the masculine singular to avoid going into many details, but obviously there are alternatives in terms of gender and number, as always.
Of course.
So common endings to talk about a smaller size of something, but also which function as diminutives or terms of endearment, are endings like ello, etto, or ino.
Okay, so if we talk about, for example, una casa,
sì,
then a nice little house would be
una casetta.
So we can make casa into casetta. E-double-T-A at the end.
And it can be a small house, but depending on the context, it could also be a lovely mm-hmm. house. So it really depends on the maybe the facial expression of the speaker, the mm-hmm. specific context, the situation. So it could be either a small house, but also a nice, lovely house.
Okay. So what? Give us another example.
Sì, there are loads. Possiamo dire un alberello.
Oh, a little tree.
Sì, o un giochino.
A little game.
Sì, and these like endings are very common when we talk to children.
Yeah.
So you would say, oh, che bella casetta, che bel giochino, guarda quell'alberello.
Yes, look at that little tree, look at that nice little game, and so on.
You can also do that with names, obviously in a very informal situation. If your friend is called Paolo, uh-huh. you can call him Paolino.
Paolino. So as you said, there's not really a rule as to which of these etto, ello, ino, and so on you use with different words. So what would you have been called? Would you have been Franceschetta?
No, Franceschina.
Franceschina.
Sì, when I was a child, it was Franceschina. But Silvia, our Silvia, probably would be Silvietta,
Silvietta.
And not Silvina, uh-huh. because it just sounds better.
And what about Mark?
I would say Marcolino.
Marcolino. I like it. Marcolino. I think I'll rename myself that. Marcolino.
Marcolino.
Pentletone.
Sì.
Okay, so what else would we see this with? Because it's not just nouns.
No, we can also do that with adjectives. For example, if something is green, but not like a pure green, it's kind of green, greenish, we can say verdino.
Okay, verdino then. So it's a little green in a sense.
Sì, sì. O possiamo dire stupidino.
A little bit stupid.
Sì, sì. O un bambino è cattivello.
Okay, so a little bit mischievous.
Sì, sì, sì. Okay. So it also, these endings, they also make the words nicer in a way. Cattivello sounds nicer than cattivo. Sì.
Am I right in thinking that we can actually combine them as well?
Yes, at times you can have two endings together. Ad esempio, if we take, we mentioned casa mm-hmm. before, and we can say una casetta mm-hmm. or una casina,
yep.
and they both mean a small or a cute, nice house, but we can also say una casettina.
Una casettina, okay. So what is that, even smaller and cuter?
probably. Sì. It sounds really nice. It probably means it's not that big, but it's really cozy inside. It's nicely furnished. You feel well when you go to that house.
Okay. As you say, it's a little bit tricky to know exactly what these are referring to and exactly how to form them.
Sì, perché I'll give you an example. When a baby boy is born, you would say un maschietto.
So maschio for a male, sì. For a little male, maschietto.
Sì. But when a baby girl is born, you would talk about una femminuccia, not una femminetta, for example. So the idea is the same. You're talking about a baby boy or a baby girl, so a baby. But depending on the gender, you would use a different ending.
So I thought uccio or uccia had a negative sense. Am I getting mixed up?
Una femminuccia is positive.
Am I thinking of accio and accia?
Accio, sì,
right,
sì,
okay.
Sì.
We'll come to that in a moment.
Sì.
So what other endings are there?
Okay, again, talking about affection or terms of endearment, we also have otto or uccio, which we have just mentioned before, and olo as well.
Okay, so give us some examples of these ones.
Sì, ad esempio, a teddy bear is un orsacchiotto.
Orsacchiotto.
So, come okay. Un piccolo orso, un orsacchiotto. Uh-huh. Or if you talk to someone that you really like, maybe your partner, you can say tesoro, but you can also say tesoruccio.
Tesoruccio,
to
okay.
Make it sound nicer. Uh-huh. Or maybe if you want to obtain something, uh-huh. You can say, oh, tesoruccio.
Okay.
Again, with the ending olo or ola, you can talk about figliolo or figliola, mm-hmm. as a term of endearment for figlio and figlia.
Mm-hmm. So give us some more examples, Francesca.
Yes, we can also use these endings again with adjectives. So, for example, we can say vecchiotto. Instead of vecchio. And I'm thinking, for example, when you see an old dog, but somehow it's cute.
It's cute, yeah.
And so you don't want to say un cane vecchio. You can say, ah, questo cane è un po' vecchiotto.
Oh,
è grassottello instead of grasso.
So it's like saying a little bit plump rather
sì,
than fat.
Sì. And there is a word which I really like. I don't know. For me, it sounds very Italian. Is the word calduccio.
Right, so this is when you're nice and warm, you're cozy.
Sì, andiamo a casa al calduccio.
Al calduccio,
so
lovely.
It's not just al caldo, but calduccio implies that you're going to feel really well and you'll be comforted in a nice, warm place.
So otto, uccio and olo are more about endearment, they're more about affection.
Sì.
Ello, etto, ino and icino, those ones could be affection, but they also can
size.
Refer to physical size.
Sí,
yeah.
Sí,
so those are when it's small. There's also an ending that we would use when things are big.
Sì, one.
So that was like the valigiona.
Sì, la valigiona di prima, esatto. One is a very common ending suffix for largeness. Mm-hmm. Ad esempio, un librone.
A huge book.
Or if we go back to the casa, una casona.
A big gaff, as they say in Scotland.
A big gaff, sì. Oh, un ragazzone.
So a big guy.
Sì, and again, we can also play with names. Mm-hmm. I remember having a student in class who was very tall, huh? And he used to call himself Gianni because his name was John.
Yeah.
But because he was so tall, I would call him Giannone.
Giannone. Okay, Giannone.
And again, you can also do it with adjectives. So you can talk about verde as verdone.
So is that really green?
Sì, like very dark, very uh-huh. intense, un bel verdone.
As opposed to verdino, which is just a little bit green.
Sì. Oh, pigrone. Very lazy.
Okay.
So pigro, lazy. Ah,
yeah.
Ma sei un pigrone.
You're very lazy.
You're very lazy.
Okay. Now, earlier we mentioned accio, because I was getting mixed up with uccio and accio. Uccio's nice, accio's not.
Accio is not.
Okay.
Accio has a negative connotation. It can be the quality, the look, the material, in moral terms, behavior.
Okay.
So it always carries this negative something.
Okay.
ad esempio un libraccio.
Not a nice book.
Sì, you wouldn't recommend un libraccio. The very Italian, fare una figuraccia.
So una figura, una bella figura, is to put on a good show and so on. So una figuraccia is when you really put on a bad show.
Sì. Ho fatto una figuraccia, like if you said the wrong thing, yeah. Or if you were not dressed in a proper way.
Yep.
Or whatever, something went wrong, is una figuraccia.
Okay.
Oh, puoi dire, oh, c'è un odoraccio qua dentro.
There's not here in this
No.
but there's a nasty smell, a horrible smell.
Sì, or a bad joke is una battutaccia.
Ah, okay, una battutaccia.
Sì. Or you can also talk about un ragazzaccio, ad esempio.
So a really naughty boy.
Sì, someone is not behaving, is not doing things properly. Mm-hmm. So, un ragazzaccio.
Okay, cool. Now, Francesca, there's something that happens sometimes with these endings. Am I right in thinking that the gender changes sometimes?
Yes, it's quite common for especially feminine words to become masculine when one of these endings is added. So like with your valigia before, we could say una valigiona, but we could also say un valigione.
Yeah. Okay. And thinking back to when you came into the room, I think I did say un valigione and you said una valigiona, and I'm thinking, oh, I got that wrong.
No. You can say either, and it's quite common to see that change in gender.
Okay. But does it sometimes also carry a change in meaning?
At times there could be a slight change in meaning. For example, if we talk about una finestra, a window, which can be the window in the house. But if we say un finestrino...
That's the window in a car.
Or any means of transport.
Yeah.
So it's not a small window in the house. That would be una finestrina.
Yep.
But if we're talking about transports, then it becomes masculine and it has that connotation of the window in the car, train, airplane, and so on.
So the same thing happens, I guess, with una maglia.
Sì.
Which would become un maglione.
Un maglione. Un maglione is specifically the woolen jumper, the very thick, heavy one.
Yeah. But the maglia can be a more simple top.
Sì.
Okay. Francesca, can we assume that any word ending in accio or ino or etto or so on, can we assume that that is in some way a modified noun?
No, Mark, that would be too easy. But it's actually something really funny about Italian, because let's take a word that we all know, focaccia. So everyone knows that focaccia is a type of bread, kind of, and it ends in accia. So we know it's a negative suffix that carries a negative connotation. But in this case, it has nothing to do with that. It's just focaccia, and it just happens to end in accia.
Uh-huh.
And it's not a bad, nasty foca.
Una foca would be a seal.
Sì.
So I can think of this naughty seal swimming up and down, stealing people's focaccia.
Esatto, sì. O se dico il tacchino.
Il tacchino is turkey.
Sì, so it's not a small tacco, and tacco is the heel.
The heel of your shoe,
Sì, that would be un tacchetto, for example.
Ah, right, okay.
Sì. Or, Mark, scarpone.
Mm-hmm. Is that like a big shoe?
Not exactly. It's a specific type of shoe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it like a hiking boot?
It's the hiking boot. Uh-huh. Sì. A big scarpa would be una scarpona.
Okay, right.
So this is a case of a word changing gender and also assuming a specific meaning. So scarpa is a shoe, scarpona is a big shoe, but scarpone is a hiking boot. So it can also be for a child, uno scarpone per un bambino, piccolo. Sì.
There's one other word that comes to mind, and that's forchetta, a very common word.
Sì,
And forchetta just exists on its own because there's a forca. Una forca is like a pitchfork, isn't it?
Sì, esatto.
So
sì.
You are not using little pitchforks to eat our dinner.
No, and one more which is really, it's really fun. Burrone.
Burrone, what does that mean?
Well, it could be un grande burro.
Like a large butter?
But it's a bit strange yes. to talk about un grande burro. So burrone is the word for ravine.
Okay, right. So it's like a crevice that you might
sì,
slip down.
Sì, sì.
Okay, so far, Francesca, we've talked about nouns.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also certain things that we can do with verbs.
Yes, we can do the same thing with verbs. So changing their meaning a little bit. And usually adding information about the action, if it is incomplete or if it is intermittent or without a specific aim. But we use different endings, different suffixes.
Wow. Okay. So this is very, very specific. Let's have some examples of this.
Sì, again, it's difficult to tell which endings go with which verbs. It's just something that you need to play with.
Yeah.
So I'll give you example of verbs and then we will see what the endings are. Ad esempio, possiamo dire canticchiare.
So we've got canticchiare, which must come from cantare.
Cantare.
So what would canticchiare be?
Canticchiare is like to hum softly.
Ah, okay.
So a little bit, you sing a little bit and you're very quiet and then maybe you stop for a moment, you continue after.
Okay. So it's not like you're actively singing, you're just kind of...
sì, it's more like humming. Sì, sì, sì.
Okay.
From leggere, you can say leggiucchiare.
So what does that mean?
So you're not really focusing, you're reading a little bit and maybe you're checking your phone and then you go back to what you were reading.
Okay.
So it's like a reading but without an aim and without concentration.
Right. Okay.
Or ridacchiare.
So that's ridere.
Sì, when you go like...
So is it like sniggering?
Sì, sì,
ah,
sì,
like
sì. So this ending, icchiare, acchiare, ucchiare.
And there are lots of these types of verbs where we can change the meaning slightly by adding some letters in the middle.
Sì, ce ne sono tantissimi.
So we'll add some more in the notes.
Yeah, we'll make sure they all appear in the notes.
Excellent. Okay, after the break, we're going to be listening to a conversation. And in this conversation, you just might hear one or two words that have that have been modified slightly with these endings.
Sì.
Okay, a dopo.
In addition to the podcast version of Coffee Break Italian Season 3, we are also putting together a full course on the Coffee Break Academy, where you'll be able to access bonus materials to help you make even better progress with your Italian.
That's right. Not only will you be able to enjoy an ad-free audio version of each lesson, we'll also provide a bonus episode in which we'll go through every detail of the dialogues, and a third episode for each lesson in which Francesca will be testing us with some translation challenges based on the lesson topic. Of course, there are comprehensive notes and a video version of each lesson too. Visit coffeebreakitalian.com and follow the links for Season 3 there.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, we are here with un episodone oggi.
Sì.
Si può dire?
In questo caso sì.
It is quite an episode. There's lots of interesting expressions, interesting suffixes that we're using in learning, and we're going to be hearing some of these in a conversation.
Esatto, Mark. In this conversation, we are going to listen to l'architetto Pizzi, who is going to the house of La Signora De Marinis, because she decided to make a lot of changes to the house, to change the furniture, the layout. So l'architetto Pizzi is in charge of all the works, and we will see how things are.
Okay, let's have a listen.
Ah, il campanello. Questo sarà l'architetto Pizzi.
Salve, signora De Marinis. Come va?
Bene, grazie. E lei?
Oh, più o meno. È un periodaccio questo. Uno degli architetti che lavora nel mio studio si è ammalato e un altro è in vacanza. Così sono rimasto un po' scoperto. Ho un lavorone da consegnare entro martedì e per finirlo non sto dormendo la notte.
Mi dispiace, architetto. Le faccio subito un caffettino, così si riprenderà.
Grazie mille, signora. Ah, ma non sapevo che avesse un cagnolino.
In realtà è il cane di mia figlia, ma quella furbetta lo lascia sempre da noi quando va al lavoro.
Comunque è un simpaticone.
È vero, non fa altro che salterellare per la casa e mangiucchiare le mie pantofole.
Come si chiama?
Si chiama Macchia, ma mia figlia lo chiama Mostriciattolo.
Mostriciattolo, che nomignolo simpatico!
Ecco il caffè.
Che buon profumino!
Quanto zucchero?
Un cucchiaino, per favore. Ah! Mi può mettere anche un goccetto di latte, per cortesia?
Ecco qui.
Grazie. Allora, le faccio vedere il progetto.
Vuole appoggiarlo qui sul tavolino?
Ah sì, grazie. Dunque, innanzitutto dipingerei queste pareti di colore biancastro o giallognolo. Il verdino che aveva suggerito lei non si abbina bene con il colore dell'armadietto.
Però starebbe bene con il tappeto.
Non per offenderla, signora, ma questo tappetaccio va assolutamente eliminato. Penso che Macchia ci abbia giocherellato sopra abbastanza.
Ma ci sono affezionata. Me l'ha regalato il mio maritino per il nostro anniversario.
Capisco, signora, ma lei mi ha chiesto di aiutarla a rimodernare un po' la sua casa. E sinceramente quel tappeto verde con i cavallucci marini è davvero un pugno nell'occhio.
Forse ha ragione, e poi non vorrei fare una figuraccia con i miei amici. Sa, abbiamo organizzato una festicciola per inaugurare la nuova casa e non vorrei che la mia vicina poi andasse a raccontare in giro del mio tappeto.
Vedrà che per quel giorno la sua casetta sarà un gioiellino. Certo, bisognerà ancora bucherellare qualche parete e fare altri lavoretti qua e là, ma il più è fatto.
Senta, pensa che anche il caminetto sarà pronto in tempo?
Penso di sì.
Sa, mi piacerebbe accendere un bel fuocherello, così tutti staranno al calduccio.
Signora, stia tranquilla, farà un figurone.
Excellent. Okay, let us now go through this and talk a little bit what's happened, and we'll talk in English for this section.
Sì, allora, come abbiamo detto, we have l'architetto Pizzi, who is visiting Signora De Marinis to finalize the refurbishment works in her house.
He's been struggling a little bit with deadlines, but he's very busy. And I think the reason is he's short-staffed.
Sì, esatto. Ma la signora De Marinis, she's so kind, so immediately she makes him a coffee, and the architect takes his coffee with one sugar and a drop of milk.
Specifically.
Sì.
In the meantime, the architect notices the dog called Macchia.
Sì, che bel nome.
But it's also called Mostriciattolo.
Sì, little monster.
And that belongs to Signora De Marinis' daughter.
Esatto, sì. He's actually a lively dog who is jumping and munching on slippers all day.
So the two of them, that's Signora De Marinis and the architect, not the dog,
no.
start discussing the changes to the house, and these include painting the walls in a slightly white or slightly yellow color.
I'm
seeing some of these words here. And the current pale greenish color suggested by Signora De Marinis does not suit the little cabinet.
Esatto, sì. Che attenzione ai dettagli. Actually, she argues that it would go well with the rug that they have in the house, but l'architetto says that the horrible rug needs to go. It seems quite strict about
quite
that.
Okay, but the rug in actual fact is quite special because Signora De Marinis' husband got it for their anniversary. However, the architect explains that if she wants to modernize her house, she has to get rid of that eyesore rug. And what is it that's on the rug again?
Seahorses, I cavallucci marini. Well, she agrees in the end, and she also starts thinking in view of the housewarming party that they want to host once the house is ready. And she doesn't want her next door neighbor to go and tell everyone about the horrible rug. So she agrees in the end. Non vuole fare una figuraccia.
The architect promises the house will be a real gem by then. And only some minor works are still required. And the fireplace will also be ready for the housewarming so that everyone will be nice and warm with a little bit of calduccio.
Sì, che bello.
Well, that is almost it for this episode. But of course, as ever, there's always time for a little more. Ancora una cosina.
Sì, which is a diminutive cosina.
Cosina,
we've
certo.
never really mentioned that, but it's a little thing,
a
una
little
cosina.
Thing.
But it's also a nice thing. So it's the ino ina ending, meaning small but nice.
Exactly. And what do you have for us in today's cosina?
Well, for today's cosina, I was thinking we should go back to la scarpa that we mentioned before. We spoke about scarpona, scarpone, but in Italian there is also scarpetta.
And it's one of my favorite words.
Sì.
Fare la scarpetta.
Fare la scarpetta, sì.
Puoi
sì.
spiegare questa parola?
Sì, fare la scarpetta is something we do once we have cleared our plate from the food, but there is still some sauce left and we don't want it to go to waste because it's the best part. Imagine like a lovely ragù or yep. sugo di pomodoro. So we want to mop up our plate with a piece of bread usually, and that action, which at times is seen as not very elegant but still it's very pleasant, it's called fare la scarpetta, so literally to do the little, the small, nice shoe.
And it is something, I mean, I think I defy anyone not to, if you've sat down to a delicious plate of pasta with
sì.
a sauce, then you need to mop it up with something.
Sì, 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 sarebbe un peccato altrimenti.
Un peccatino forse.
Un peccatone.
Un peccatone, sì, certo. Allora, cosa potremmo dire?
Beh, è stata un'altra bella puntata, la puntata numero 30, quindi...
Sì. Si può dire puntatina?
Una bella puntatina,
una
sì.
Una bella puntatina.
Bravo.
And I think with that we will finish this lesson. We will be back next time with lesson 31. And that's going to be a little bit different. You've got some very interesting things to look forward to then. But we'll reveal all in the next episode.
Ooh, acqua in bocca.
Acqua in bocca. Of course, for now, there is our full explanation episode where we're going through the whole conversation. And we're just about to record that now. And we'll also be recording our translation challenge. And all of these form part of the course for the Coffee Break Italian Season 3 program. You can find all of this at coffeebreakitalian.com.
Perfetto.
For now, grazie molte e arrivederci.
A presto, ciao ciao!
You have been listening to a Coffee Break Languages production for the Radiolingua Network. Copyright 2023 Radiolingua Limited. Recording copyright 2023 Radiolingua Limited. All rights reserved.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.